want our bodies filled with antioxidants so that we can combat all forms of oxidative stress, whether it is like external on our skin or internal in our bodies. So much of the Western diet is playing a role in the acne that we're seeing today. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of amazing skincare products out there with amazing ingredients that are so helpful for your skin, your collagen, but what you're putting in is also just as important.
You know, what are three foods that you think would definitely benefit your skin?
There's so much out there, but when it comes to really helping your skin barrier, keeping your collagen healthy, one of the food groups are...
Let me ask, so if there was three skin hacks your Japanese mother taught you, what would they be?
She would massage her face with something cold in the morning. I like to do it as a way to help make me look more awake. Like boiling onion skin, these are things that you can easily do. There's a higher concentration of quercetin in onion skin, and we have a lot of different studies of how it helps with inflammation and other chronic diseases and aging and cancers. So another thing that she did is...
Eastern medicine's absolutely amazing. Western medicine has some great benefit. Mm-hmm. We're great at emergency care. We're horrible at preventative medicine.
I feel like so much of conventional medicine doctors don't know that. Maybe they're starting to.
Does face yoga actually work?
Face yoga...
Dr. Mamina, thank you so much for being on the Non-Toxic Living Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Triple board certified dermatologist, doing some integrative medicine, doing some traditional medicine when it comes to having beautiful, healthy skin and a healthy body. Yeah. So how did you get into what you do?
I have always been interested in integrative medicine, even before college. Didn't know that I really wanted to go to medical school. But as I got later into college, I was like, you know what? I think if I have my medical degree, I can do anything I wanted. Like if I could do integrative medicine with a medical degree, I could do traditional medicine. So I was like, let me just go this path. Mm-hmm. And I was like president of the integrative medicine interest group in my med school. I was planning on going into family medicine and practicing holistic integrative medicine with that route. But I did a rheumatology rotation. So rheumatology focuses on autoimmune diseases. And I was so drawn to those patients, specifically the ones who had skin issues. So their immune system essentially was attacking their skin, whether it was the epidermis or the collagen. Like with scleroderma, it attacks your collagen. So these patients, their skin was so taut, they couldn't like open their mouths. Their hands were contracted. And I just had so much empathy for these patients. I'm like, do I like dermatology?
Yes.
So... And unfortunately, dermatology
added to my list.
Yeah, and that was it's like one of the most competitive specialties. And I was like, well, shit, man, why do I want to do this derm? It's like so competitive. But I was very fortunate, and I got into a combined internal medicine dermatology program because I was really interested in complex medical derm in autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. And when you're in conventional residency, you're just trying to survive. Like, it's such an unfortunate model where we're doing these 30-hour shifts and. It's like so ironic, right? Like as doctors during our training, it's like we're learning how to help heal people. But as we're doing it, we're completely obliterating like our own health by like having crazy shifts and eating terrible foods in the hospital and just being under so much stress physically and mentally. So I felt like I just was in survival mode and I just got sucked into this conventional world. And I sort of felt like I lost my way a little bit and was just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to go into private practice because I just want to like do what's like the easiest route, like the least like resistant.
It makes total sense,
you know?
Yeah.
And as I was, when I was in my first year of practice, I was like, wait a second, something's not aligning. I was seeing over 50 patients a day and it felt almost like, you know, I was just working in a factory and I wasn't in alignment with what I truly believed was true healing for these patients. Don't get me wrong. I think that a lot of medicines are so helpful for helping people heal their confidence and making people more comfortable because so many people are just so debilitated by so many skin issues. And so to me, there was a role, but I was like, there's still not fulfillment. And I was wanting to find other ways to incorporate a more integrative approach to my practice. A few years later, I finally found this program. It was called this Integrative Dermatology Certificate Program. It was geared towards board certified dermatologists. So found a group of like-minded derms. It was amazing. And just learned things from like traditional Chinese medicine to Ayurveda, yeah, through like supplements that we have evidence for that can be supportive. Like, so many people can't tolerate certain prescription medicines for acne, and or they'd rather do other things to heal their gut or take other supplements. So I'm doing a mixture. Exactly. So I'm doing a mixture of both, and that's where I am now. Yeah. And somehow social media kind of fell in the mix too.
Yeah, you're doing really well on social media.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm gonna be bold and say I think you're have an amazing heart, Blake, and I think you're very sensitive.
Oh my gosh.
And thank you. You got some special stuff in you, and I can really see it in you, like your heart, and just that as you're speaking, I can feel that battle within you. Like, mm-hmm, most people would be like, I've worked really hard. I'm just going to have a great life. You know, I've done the work. I'm just going to take the paycheck and I'm going to have the babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's number two on the way.
Yes.
And but not pay attention to that intuition. Mm-hmm. And, what your Japanese mother taught you,
yes,
about these ancient wisdoms,
yes,
that developed over millennia that may not have all have science. They're having some science now, mm-hmm, right, to back up what, mm-hmm, your mom did, what your, yeah, grandmother did,
yeah,
and to be able to now see that that's becoming mainstream and integrated into what you're doing. So it's like the history of, like, you're bringing history with you.
Totally.
And you're manifesting the love of your ancestors, mm-hmm, into your practice, and you couldn't let that go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just fall into this Americanized Western medicine, right, is the only way, and, yeah, we're better than Eastern medicine, because, yeah, the fact, it's not true. Eastern medicine's absolutely amazing. Western medicine has, mm-hmm, some great benefit. Mm-hmm. We're great at emergency care. We're horrible, right, horrible at preventative medicine.
We are. Yes, we're good medics. Yeah, we're good medics, but yes, we're not good at chronic disease.
We're well-trained if someone's in pain to get them out of pain. Mm-hmm. You know, we're well-trained if someone broke a leg, mm-hmm, or needed reconstructive surgery. We're really great at that, but we're good at keeping people alive. Mm-hmm. We're not good at, you know, preventing them from, yes, getting sick in the first place, or, yeah, preventing them from having the skin disorder that they have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's beautiful that, you know, you're tapped into that. I see that.
Thank you. Thank you. My mom, yeah, had a huge influence, actually. I didn't realize it at the time, but when I was reflecting back on what drew me to medicine, you know, when we were younger, she was so anti, like, Tylenol. Like, whenever we had a fever, she would just pile, like, blankets on top of us so that we would just sweat it out. And she would make this Japanese mixture. It was called tamago sake. And it was sake, like, mm-hmm, warm sake. And she would put a raw egg in it, and we would down it and then go to sleep. And I would wake up the next morning feeling like $1 million. Like, I'd sleep on a pillow full of ice. It was like a rubber pillow from Japan, and you fill it up with ice. So anyway, she would just do random things, or like she would massage certain parts of my hand. Like if I was constipated, there was like a part on my index finger she would massage. And so I felt like I was exposed.
Ancient wisdom.
Yeah. To these other
practices.
Yeah. And then I lived overseas. It's a long story, but I went to boarding school in Korea when I was in 7th and 8th grade in Seoul. And it was exposed to other forms of healing there, like moxibustion and other herbal remedies in Korean medicine. And yeah, I was just like, there's so much more than Tylenol,
yeah,
to healing. So,
well, so the interesting about chickens, and maybe you can talk about the science, because when chickens are exposed to certain viruses, they will produce
antibodies.
Yeah, antibodies. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, because if they're getting exposed to, those chickens were part of the community, right, and there was a virus around,
mm-hmm,
were they producing these IgY, these antibodies? And so when you took it,
I wonder.
Because they use it in pharmaceutical medicine. Like this is IgY is used, not much in America, but in Japan, big time.
Oh.
IgYs are used. So their IgYs are used in to reverse dental disease, because you can produce an exact IgY that'll attack P. gingivitis and other plaque-causing, gum-receding-causing, tooth-rotting bacteria, instead of taking your Listerine,
yeah,
which kills everything in your microbiome and the very things that you, the bugs that you need for heart health, for gut health, for digestion,
yeah,
for your skin, yeah, right? And you're literally killing them. There's, yeah, a lawsuit against Listerine because, oh, yeah, of that right now. And
I did a whole post about being anti-Listerine.
Yeah, so we're on the same,
yeah,
they're on the same page, and it's amazing that, you know, Japan does that.
Yeah,
there's a product called Smile Guard by Humarian,
okay,
that has brought that to the United States. And, you know, nobody, you know, but nobody wants that. They'd rather do Listerine versus take an IGY that's produced from a chicken, which is like a natural kind of antibiotic, if you will, you know? So yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if that's why it works so well. If it's a local chicken.
Right.
I don't know. Where did you grow up?
Well, I actually grew up in New York.
Yeah. So it wasn't a local chicken.
No, it was, I mean, she just, I don't know where the egg was from that she, I mean, she's,
it could have been a local chicken.
It could have been.
Westchester
County, New York, yeah. Tarrytown. I don't know.
Was it in the country?
It was in a New York City suburb. No, so
wasn't a street chicken.
Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, just random things. And I never thought much about it. I just remember growing up feeling a little bit embarrassed at the same time. I was like, I always wish I just had like this normal American mom who knew what was up. And yeah. I thought my mom was so just on the fringe and weird and, you know, just didn't understand me.
Yeah.
And now it's just crazy because, you know, we're best friends and people love her. Like, people on social media are obsessed with her. And they're like, protect her at all costs. So yeah, no, I have definitely a whole new appreciation for her, and I'm very grateful for her because she is a huge reason why I'm where I am today. Yeah, as a physician, you know, and a healer.
Oh, it's a beautiful story. I love this. So let me ask. Oh, so if there was three skin hacks your Japanese mother taught you, what would they be?
Great question.
Or skin hacks that you're now applying that you may have not thought that were, but just like things that you thought were wacky back then, but as you trained and yeah. helped so many people, are like, my mom was freaking right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think this was necessarily her idea, but she would massage her face with something cold. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now you see so many ice rollers and whatnot out, and she would use cold objects that she just put in the freezer. She eventually did buy an ice roller, and it was something that I never seen anyone do in dermatology, but it makes sense. I mean, I always tell patients, you know, practice that with caution because people literally can get freezer burns
to your face.
Yeah. So ice can really help depuff your skin, mm-hmm. and the act of massaging helps with circulation too. So I'm currently obsessed with it. Just in the morning, I like to do it as a way to help make me look more awake, especially if I'm going to be on a podcast like this. So that's one thing that she did. And then all the things that she did were all about promoting circulation, because when you have good circulation, you can bring more nutrients to all your organs, including your skin. So another thing that she did that may or may not be directly related to your skin health, but I think it's related to your overall health, which will help your skin health, is she would lay down with her legs up on the wall, like in a perpendicular, like an L shape. And she would do that for like 10 minutes a day. And I was like, what are you doing, mom? But now it's like trending. It's been trending over the last few years. And that was a huge viral video that I had on TikTok in 2020 when I was sharing that tip from my mom. And another viral video, once again, promoting circulation in the body. There's this machine. It's hilarious. It's called the Swing Master, but it's also known as the Qi machine. Mm-hmm. And you rest your ankles on it, and it just swerves your whole body like in this figure eight position. And you feel actually so relaxed when you use it. But it actually helps like move your lymphatics better. Mm-hmm. There was actually one small scientific study, because I was like doing research behind it. Like, is there actually any evidence behind it? But it does help with lymphedema, which are cases where you have lymphatic fluid building up in your lower extremities from poor circulation. Like, so people with like really swollen ankles. And so it can help with that. But she was doing that. People
were
obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it was sold out on Amazon, like all the different variations of the Qi machine, I remember.
Just from your pose?
From my pose. I was like, people were like, where can I buy this? Where can I buy this? So I was like posting the links, and then like, they were all sold out. Oh my gosh.
Japanese mom sold out lymph swings.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, right. And
probably because people in their parasympathetic relaxes them.
It does. I feel great whenever I use it. So yeah, so that was a huge hit. And then she's 77 now. She was 72 in 2020 when she went viral. But everyone's like, she looks like she's in her early 50s. What is she doing? And so I think that I'm a huge believer that your internal health is so important for your skin health.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of amazing skincare products out there with amazing ingredients that are so helpful for your skin, your collagen. But I do think that what you're putting in is also just as important. And one of the things that she did was onion skin tea, which you don't really think about. Like, what, onion skin?
Onion skin,
But apparently a lot,
just
the
the skin.
skin is really dense with nutrients because it's like,
The papery stuff.
yeah, the papery stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that's where it all accumulates, you know, because that was like the first part of the onion, and it's finally up. That's like the oldest part of the onion.
Yeah,
So
it builds
it's
up.
more concentrated actually with nutrients. Yeah. So she would, you know, she'd always make sure she'd buy organic onions. And then she would save the paper, like whatever the outer peel
And you were all
paper.
throwing it away.
We're throwing it away. And she would just boil it, I don't know, 10 to 20 minutes. And it's full of a bunch of nutrients. And when I was doing research on it, there's a higher concentration of quercetin in onion skin. And so you're getting a higher amount of that if you're drinking in this concentrated tea form. And quercetin, you know, we have a lot of different studies of how it helps with inflammation and other chronic diseases and aging and cancers. So I thought that was a fun tip too.
That's an amazing tip.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. And it's easy. It's cheap. That's the thing that people really appreciate. Like putting your legs on the wall, like boiling onion skin, these are things that you can easily do.
well, that's what I love about Eastern medicine. Like, they knew that the onion skin was of value, right? And we throw it away. We throw away all the parts, if you eat meat, all the parts of the organ meats. And I know people take that really far, but we don't, we're not nose to tail, right? So for that same thing with, you know, our vegetables, we're not nose to tail vegetable. Like, we throw away some of the most important nutrient dense anti-inflammatory parts of an onion. But Eastern medicine has found that when you, if you want to get healthy or feel better or boost your immune system, it's the skin. Or no, it's the skin. It's like the embryo of the onion, and we're just tossing it away. We're just tossing out, you know, the liver. We're just tossing out the chive tops, which may have whatever, right? We might like a lot of these different parts.
Yeah,
We
exactly. I
won't
like
eat
that analogy.
in America, we won't eat certain things of the vegetables. We only like the tops of the broccoli sprouts. What if more of the sulfur-based, the hormone-supporting parts of the broccoli,
Sulfurines,
the sulfurines are in the stem. Like, I'm not saying that we throw things out because we're told, but in other countries, they don't waste food. And it all has a purpose. We turn this, we eat this, we turn this into tea, we dehydrate this, and but the wastefulness.
Well, okay, it reminds me of my first spiral video with my mom. We were at the beach. This was May of 2020, and she was eating a banana for breakfast. She then proceeds, when she's done with it, she then proceeds to take the banana peel, so that what we would naturally throw away, and starts rubbing it on her face. And then she was like rubbing it on her forearms. And I was like, I have to record this. This is hilarious. And I was doing research too, and there are benefits to banana peel or to bananas in general for your skin. Although
It's another one.
so it's another one. Yeah. I mean, it's not something that I feel like is going to be more powerful than a lot of skincare that's out there, but it's one of those things where it's like cheap, easy. If you're not allergic to bananas, you know, why the hell not? And I remember that people were going nutso over that.
Well, people love that. They
People love that.
love things that they don't, that doesn't have a thousand ingredients in it, and they don't know what to choose, and they go to a store, and people like me go in and say, best skincare at Costco, you know? And they're like, well, I just want a banana. Can I just rub a banana on my face? Well, will that help?
Well,
So what's inside of a banana that could support skin health?
so banana actually, interesting, has like very gentle exfoliating ingredients, so that can help with skin renewal. There's different vitamins in there, like a little bit of vitamin C, some B vitamins, and like it can also be hydrating to the skin as well. It's one of those things where I don't think it's going to be as hugely impactful as a well-formulated moisturizer or a well-formulated vitamin C product, but
Vitamin C serum or something.
Something that's like
But it's free.
made
It's
from
pretty
it's
sure.
free and so it's easy. So like my take on it is, if it's not harming you and you're already eating a banana, like sure, like it's
Use
not a
it.
big deal.
What
We
about
can use it.
dehydrating the banana skin and making banana skin tea?
Okay,
Is
so
that
that was
right?
a video that I hit with my mom too. She didn't think
Everything
I
I learned about health, that natural health, I learned from my Japanese wife.
So she we did another video because we talked about onion skin tea. We talked about using a banana peel on your face, and I was like, well, what about boiling banana skin, which is what she also does too. So she'll boil the banana skin and drink banana skin tea for those same nutrient benefits. Like there's certain B vitamins, vitamin C, and it's so yeah, I mean, like just making the use the most out of like every vegetable or everything that's at your disposal. And it's cheap and easy and free. Like you're going to throw that banana, like a 30-cent banana peel anyway. So,
and it's going to go to a landfill. It's not, right? You know, yeah, it might not ever get, you know,
we're
back into nature like it should. So it's like nose to tail fruits, nose to tail vegetables,
yeah,
like using all the parts. And I think that kind of reconnects us to nature, gives us respect for nature, respect for the environment, because we're not just, you know, wasting the all that effort nature put into this sunshine. Like it's a lot of energy.
Yeah, there's so much energy
and raws, and especially if it's a regenerative type farmer or scenario, or someone in the Philippines that's, I think Philippines is where most of our bananas come from now.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think of South America.
Yeah. The banana story is actually pretty not a good story, like the industrial banana revolution and how, you know, that's look that one up on Instagram. How did the new, the commercial banana, it's again, it's a lot of money trail, a lot of
I could see that
forest being burnt down and, you know, corners on the market once again, you know, just like Rockefeller type oil things, right? It's one of those stories. But anyway, let's not get into conspiracy. That's not where we're going to add value today. You know, what are three foods that you think would definitely benefit your skin?
There's so much out there, but I'm thinking about the ones that we have a lot of evidence for when it comes to really helping your skin barrier, keeping your collagen healthy. So one of the food groups are omega-3 foods. So there's different sources of omega-3s. There's salmon, you know, obviously we want wild caught, or sardines, like smaller fish, the better. And
less toxins, less mercury, toxins,
less mercury. I have to look into this more, but you mean people are saying like omega-3 supplements are potentially even cleaner than eating the fish itself.
Yeah, depending on the omega-3.
Depending on the supplements,
yeah,
right?
Filtered, yeah.
And then, you know, there's also like certain vegetable sources too, whether it's like chia seeds or flax seeds, but getting those healthy fats, because the fats are like the cornerstone for our cell membrane, the cell lipid bilayer, there's fatty acids, and we want to have healthier fats. Our cells will work better, signals will transfer better if you have like a solid cellular membrane around your skin cells, and like it'll keep moisture in your skin. And also, you know, omega-3s are anti-inflammatories with all sorts of things, whether it's inflammatory skin issues. We have a lot of data showing support in psoriasis and eczema, as well as like anti-aging, like supporting your collagen. So we love omega-3s. And
because of conventional meat, we can be omega-6 dominant because the ratio is way off. If foods are grown outside of nature, how they were intended, it throws off the fatty acid ratio. And once again, we suffer the consequences with inflammatory disease because we have too much of one omega, because there's the magic ratio that they say in nature is omega-6 is 4-to-1 ratio, omega-6 to omega-3.
Yeah.
So you're saying so when you're taking an omega-3, getting your cell membranes back into balance.
Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, decreasing your inflammatory load.
Yeah.
And I think that
there's like anti-inflammatory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also data with acne, too. I think so much of the Western diet is playing a role in the acne that we're seeing today. Another food group. It's hard to skip one food group, but number
two is fine.
It's fermented foods that can really help nourish your gut. So, yeah. And it's hard to say, it's specifically kimchi or like natto, which I love.
What's natto?
Natto is a Japanese food. It's fermented soybean. Mm-hmm. Something also I learned from my Japanese.
And that's a healthy way to have soybeans.
Oh, good. It's a healthy way to have soybeans. Right. Because obviously there's certain issues with soy. But this fermented form is healthier. And it's full of, fiber. But it also has this bacillus probiotic in it. And it also is a high amount of vitamin K2. We love vitamin K2. We don't
tells where vitamin
it tells where the cal- vitamin go. Where it tells calcium where to go.
Yeah,
exactly. And I feel like so much of conventional medicine doctors don't know that. Maybe they're starting to, because
they're not taught it yet. Yeah,
yeah, not yet.
They'll get vitamin D supplements without K2, and then
right or calcium
without Yeah.
And then we see calcium in the arteries. We see calcium in the skin. There's like certain skin disorders, calcinosis cutis, calciphylaxis, where calcium builds up in your skin and it's so bad.
Calcifying your pituitary.
Yeah. Calcified like things that aren't your bones, you know, and then like it's just taking away calcium from your teeth, from your bones, people more osteoporosis. So yes, we want calcium.
The 6-year-old women out there are like, oh, I'm getting brittle bones. So they're just pounding a calcium supplement and they could end up doing that improperly. Without K2, you literally could be increasing your risk to heart disease.
Yes, yes. So definitely for those of you who are taking calcium by itself, I would definitely have a discussion in with your doctor, and they may not be able to tell you for another
doctor. Don't blame me. Well, you could say, well, that's what's nice about what you're doing, Mamina, I think I might have frisked, is that you're a triple board certified MD. You've done the work. They can say I learned it from you, right? They hear from me. I'm just non-toxic dad. Non-toxic dad does not have a nutrition degree, and therefore he's an idiot.
No, you know? Yes, no.
It's like this is one of their peers, and it's like, look, you know, there's lots of science here, guys.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we can throw out some John Hopkins studies if you want, maybe some Harvard studies, and you know, so this is how, you know, this is the biological pathway, and we learned this in school, and it's okay. You can give them vitamin D with K2. You can give them D3. It's okay.
That, like, if your doctor has you on vitamin D, which many doctors do have patients on vitamin D, you may want to consider taking one that's formulated with K2. There's so many out there now. That might just be an easy place to start. But
you're so careful. You may want to, Let me say, I can say this. You definitely want to.
Okay, good.
You definitely want to, because that's how vitamin D should be taken. And some nutritional experts, not myself, and I'm not going to say I've been in functional medicine literally for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And very few people know that about me. I'm kind of behind the scenes guy. This is all new for me. It's like I was in school for a long time, and I'm now just talking about it, right? And that even getting synthetic vitamin D, well, I guess vitamin D would come from sheep fur, right? It comes from
different.
There's different forms. There's even vegan. It comes from, you can get from plants, which is really great as well. But they're saying that even taking vitamin D, a supplement, isn't that great. So there's that other. I'm not saying that. I still believe that taking a vitamin D supplement with K2 in the right form, in the right form of K2 is important. Different forms, and it is the way to go. And I think the literature is replete, but now there's this new movement that taking vitamin D is not the way to go. Yeah. And I haven't looked at that research, but there's a lot of influencers out there talking about it. I haven't done the deep dive yet. So if you're waiting on me, do it yourself, because I haven't gone there yet. Because I'm more on non-toxic things.
Yeah.
You know. So what are the best foods? So we went from omega-3s, and then we went to fermented foods because the microbiome affect the skin health, because your skin has a microbiome.
Yes.
What's the third?
So the third group are, once again, like I said, it's hard and it's going to be a broad category, but it's foods that are rich in colors, whether it's red, purple, green. So foods that are full of like polyphenols and just like these rich antioxidants. Mm-hmm. So we're learning so much that they're playing a really big role with, yes, fighting oxidative stress from everything, whether it's like stress, pollution, like toxic foods, but also like our skin is our barrier, and our skin is dealing with oxidative stress all day long. UV rays are literally like causing oxidative stress to our skin. I know there's so much benefit with the sun and like circadian rhythm, but it is UV, it's radiation. So it can cause mutations in your DNA.
It sure can.
Yes. And so we want antioxidants. Okay. So you want antioxidants to help our DNA repair enzymes so that we're not getting these mutations in our DNA, so that we're not getting skin cancer and other skin issues like the sunspots. I mean, I have some just from years as a teenager being outside, but.
Oh, I got a ton of toot.
And
I showed you one the other day, you know, and you're laughing. If we get that sandpaper, then you might want to get a check.
I'm like, oh, well, thank you. She gave me a little inspection, you know.
Yes.
It was free.
We did the free skin check. But yeah, so we want our bodies filled with antioxidants so that we can combat all forms of oxidative stress, whether it is like external on our skin or internal in our bodies.
And one of the things that, and I'll ask you this question, I have two fun questions for you, but if you're eating a lot of antioxidants, mm-hmm. if you're eating a lot of healthy fats, mm-hmm. I was told that you're not going to burn as easily. You're going to, especially some of like the reds, the mm-hmm. anthoxanthins yeah. and
lutein.
Lutein, like mm-hmm. those, mm-hmm. the even like tomatoes and mm-hmm. The reds. And
that's raspberry.
So your chances of getting a gene mutation, mm-hmm. right? So I'm doing all the same things for you.
Mutation.
So getting a skin mutation and I'm getting even sunburn is mm-hmm. is far less. Is that true?
It is. I love that you're bringing this up because I think that what more and more research is coming out is what we're putting in our bodies internally is going to also help our skin externally from the sun. There's more supplements coming out now. We have great supplements so far. We could use even more studies, but we have really great evidence behind something called Polypodium lycotomus, which is a fern plant extract. Mm-hmm. And it's in a lot of supplements, one called HelioCare that people can take to help minimize sunburn. But foods that are rich in these like red colors, so like bell peppers, tomatoes, raspberry, they contain certain compounds that do help protect your skin from UV rays as well. But I do say this with caution because I don't think that, okay, if I just
eat this
and avoid seed oils that I'll be good mm-hmm. because I think it's a lot more complex than that. But please eat those foods, like, you know, do everything that you can to optimize your skin health because it's only going to help you. I think that it's still important to have sun protective practices. I think the sun is beneficial in so many ways. So my motto is sun responsibly. Like, yeah, you can go out in the sun, but just do it in a responsible way. Like, make sure you're eating healthy. Make sure you're doing like the sun protective things and still enjoy the sun, still enjoy outdoors.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, how about
astaxanthin too. There's a lot of awesome research coming out with astaxanthin, not only in terms of it being a sun protective compound, but also like helping with inflammation, helping with hyperpigmentation, a lot of really cool skin benefits. And I think there's going to be more coming out with astaxanthin, but I'm a huge astaxanthin fan.
That's awesome because we use it in our girls who are very fair.
Oh, great.
And they're even, when they're younger, they're sun sensitive. And I don't know the science behind this. This is for me, but a kid's child skin is, their barrier's a lot,
that we're delicate.
Yeah, a lot more delicate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more absorbable toxins. Mm-hmm. This is why I teach on, you know, you don't want to put toxic skincare, especially on children, and let them use the, with all the fragrance and the chemicals, especially when they're younger, because it's like 10 times more.
It can absorb things more.
Yeah.
So you just have to be a little bit more cautious. I mean, our skin, thankfully, has a lot of protective mechanisms in place, even in kids. But yes, you're right. Younger kids do have more absorbable capability on their skin.
I read that and I read that literature. Now I get to throw it up to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, this is your light passion. So anecdotally, I've, with my girls, if they take astaxanthin, did I say it right?
Yes.
So when my girls take astaxanthin, they don't burn.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
But we're very careful, right?
Yeah.
We make our own sunscreen.
Interesting.
So I do. Okay. And then my wife buys like a, you know, like the Badgers of the world, the zinc oxide.
Yeah. So I'm for that. I'm not confident in it at home sunscreen just because there's so much testing too that's involved with sunscreen.
Well, you got to make sure you're not buying one that's full of lead or toxins.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a whole nother conversation.
So you get a zinc oxide. It's from, you know, the ground. You could be getting ones that are high in lead, but they're testing a lot of these. Some of them are actually, lead is absorbable through the skin. Right, the molecule is small enough. It's not as much as if you ingest.
Right.
And again, if children get lead, that's the big issue, right? Because again, it's like 50 times the effect, because of some biochemical process. And a kid, they're way more susceptible. They absorb way more lead than adult, up to 50 times. So you got to be careful. I'm sure that's the same on the skin. And so, yeah, as a medical doctor, you don't know what the SPF is. Like, I get that.
Yeah. But, we're not at home.
Yeah, so you can't be.
Yeah,
I can't be. I'm non-toxic that I can be. And my kids and my wife use so many different brands. It's a zinc oxide base. So what is your favorite type of sunscreen?
for kids, I would say to be on the safe side, you can use mineral sunscreens. I think that brands that I like for kids, I am a fan of Badger. I also like Think Baby. Mm-hmm. I'm also a fan of Soul.
Yeah, Soul.
Soul.
Sun and Soul. Or
yeah, Sun and Soul.
What is that?
Soul and Sun.
Soul and Sun.
I know, I'm just thinking
more. Oh, let me look it up because I want to. Sky and Soul. Something yeah, like Sky and Soul. We'll give them a shout out. They are a good company. I think they're reformulating for lower lead because they had quite a bit.
Oh, did they?
Because zinc oxide naturally is contaminated with lead. And I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And you like a calcium, sure. Like, you know, the magnesium and calcium supplements, if you're getting, because they're coming from the earth, unless they're a chelated mineral, they can be.
I didn't even think about that.
Contaminated with lead. So you can literally, this is a big thing for me because when you go to a manufacturer and say, I want to make a zinc oxide, the best, safest, and they're putting all these, you know, non-toxic oils, you could practically eat it, right? You know, practically, you know, I wouldn't ever recommend doing zinc oxide in it, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
going to do weird things.
Yeah. So not a good idea, but for the most part, all the carrying oils, and it's safe. It's organic oils and you know, you could, but so they go to the manufacturer, they want to do the best work, but the manufacturer doesn't say, well, would you like to choose a very low lead zinc oxide so that you would make sure that your child that's wearing this, who has up to 10 times the absorbability of that lead through their skin and then 50 times, you know, in their body, and it can cause at a young age because of the blood-brain barrier and all these things can cause neurological damage. We don't think about the unintended consequence of formulating products, especially for our children, to be lower in lead. And that's one of the things I have one of my world-changing projects is called the Non-Toxic Project. And I do certify companies as non-toxic. And I look at a suite of heavy metals far beyond what the FDA requires.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, things like thallium and other toxic compounds. It's a labor of love. I haven't, it's a lot of work because I'm doing all this. I really haven't known, you know, it's like MadeSafe is a great company as well, but they don't do physical testing. So MadeSafe's a great company, but I'm trying to make something, I want to create a movement where a manufacturer of skincare, of supplements realizes you can manufacture your product to have the lowest amount of heavy metals. There's hundreds, sometimes, you know, 600-700 different sources or suppliers for a zinc oxide. And depending on where it's mined, you can get or processed some that low lead, some that's high lead.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And some of these products should have Prop 65 warning labels on them. Anyway, I'm going off on one of my passions because...
But it's something that I don't think a lot of dermatologists...
And Sky Soul is a good product tweet company. They're reformulating, but it's like... You know, Badger, I don't know if it was quite as high, but, you know, just, I think that was Lead Safe Mama, you know, lover or hater, you know, I mean, she does real testing. Like a lot of people, you know, she makes a lot of people mad.
Yeah, I know, because it just disrupts your life. You know, they're like, wait, I've been using this and I love it. I don't want to have to think about these things. Yeah. But no, I think it's something that it's good to talk about because I don't think we think about that as dermatologists.
Well, they're going
to
think about it now.
Yeah.
Because you're saying it, and you're saying, hey, we should think about that.
Yeah.
They're not going to, non-toxic dad's like, pish posh, you know, he didn't do the work. And I get it. And I have done the work, but it's just, you understand me. You don't see where I've come from, the suffering I've been through. And so that's where I focus, you know, but you're focused on, you know, all the things in the biology that promote healthy skin and then helping people get out of pain and you know, massive breakout. They have an autoimmune reaction going on and you might need to give them some prednisone so that they give them
role.
Yeah.
Well, because also like people, one of my biggest things too, and one of the biggest reasons why I went into dermatology because I suffered with this myself is helping people with their confidence and the skin, everyone can see your skin. You know, nobody really can see if you have high blood pressure, but people can see when you have acne, when you have psoriasis all over.
Yeah.
And when you have dandruff even like and when you're addressing their skin, like you're helping them on multiple levels, like you're helping them mentally, and like mental well-being translates so much to physical well-being. Like I think to me, healing starts in that office. Like whenever like I hold that patient's hand and like reassure them that their skin's going to get better, like when they're already walking out feeling like confident that their skin's going to get better. Like they're already starting the healing process. To me, confidence is so important when it comes to, you know, overall well-being, mental and physical well-being, but also as a physician, just being with the patient, being in the room with the patient, reassuring them that their skin will get better and giving them that confidence. Like confidence is already starting right there in the patient room. And so when that patient walks out, like healing is already starting even before they put creams on their skin, because like shifting the mindset is so important to healing. To me, I think that the power of the mind is also really important.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me, right? And we started this podcast with like, I saw your heart, you know, and how much you deeply care. And, you know, that's why you just want to do the right thing, you know, and I could see that in you. And here it is, the manifestation of that, because you know that the love and energy you give someone, I just had Nasha Winters, right? Mm-hmm. Love is the medicine. Mm-hmm. Like that, I mean, you know, you come from kind of an Eastern medicine background, so you understand that, like you understand vibration and healing. Mm-hmm. And in Western medicine, we kind of lost that, but you're marrying Eastern medicine with Western medicine, and you know that love is the medicine.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that energy and hope to give someone, the placebo effect is real.
It's real.
You know, I mean, all these great psychologists from, what's the guy that does the big events now? Gets like healing, not
Dr.
Joe Dispenza. Joe, he's got this, you know, cult-like following because the power of the mind and stimulating hormones and healing hormones inside your body. So this isn't woo-woo. This is science-based stuff. They're running massive clinical study. They're changing genetics. They're changing blood work. So sorry. You know, I mean,
there, and I think more is going to come with it too. Like that's another passion of mine. Yeah. Is like changing the subconscious mind and potentially like healing past traumas or past wounds and how that can help with inflammation or chronic disease. I think that there's more happening with that.
I think there's a ton more happening with that. So now I'm just getting back to some of my fun questions. Yeah. How many bugs are on our skin?
Billions, if not trillions. Yeah. We have a very extensive microbiome, and it's a huge part of our skin barrier. So when we think skin barrier, we think, okay, the top layer of our skin, which is the epidermis, and we think of like the keratin, but it's a whole ecosystem of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and as well as like the pH of our skin and the lipids, the keratin. Yeah, so it's very important. And when there's a disruption in the microbiome, we definitely see issues in it manifests as skin issues. A classic example is with eczema. In patients with eczema, your skin, their skin barrier is biologically different. There is a genetic component for people who are more predisposed. I don't think that just because you have the genetics, you're now a victim to eczema for the rest of your life, because there's ways to deal with it. But biologically, there's a difference in your microbiome, and there's a difference in the microbiome ecosystem in that there's less diversity. And when there's less diversity, staph bacteria have a higher propensity. And when there's more staph, then there's more eczema flares. So I think the microbiome is a huge area to look at when it comes to dealing with eczema, both internal and external, because, you know, as you know, the internal microbiome, there's such a huge interplay with the bacteria in our gut lining and the immune system, which is lining our intestines. And so sending signals constantly, which helps with just controlling the inflammation in our bodies. But yeah, with our skin, we are seeing that it's the diversity that's playing a really big role. Like in psoriasis, we see a higher amount of yeast on the skin in the areas where there's more psoriasis. So like anti-yeast products are helpful. Foods that increase yeast overload, like whether it's sugar, alcohol, we know that those cases flare psoriasis. So microbiome's huge.
And so if you have a microbiome imbalance, that could be the reason you have one of these different skin disorders.
Definitely. And we're seeing so much more coming out, especially in our gut. So not only on the skin, but in the gut, we're seeing so much more coming out with if there's an imbalance in your gut. I think we still need more studies, but definitely we're seeing correlation with psoriasis, eczema, acne, hair loss even. Microbiome's huge.
Yeah. I think if you're missing certain bacteria in your gut, you need them to shut down. If you're missing a bacteria, it can turn off certain inflammatory genes that can be causing an inflammation on your skin. So if you're missing the bug, the gene's active, you can't, the bacteria actually turn the gene on and off.
Yes. Yeah. Bacteria. And then if you don't have enough of the certain good bacteria, then like the bad bacteria will take over too. And those will cause like more pro-inflammatory things to happen. So, yeah.
And do the little bugs on your skin like fight for you? So I have some healthier bacteria and say I'm getting exposed to a virus. Can those bacteria fight that off?
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Viruses, bacteria, because we're exposed to staph and a lot of like pathogens every day.
We're getting exposed to a lot of pathogens through that HVAC.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of mold.
Yeah.
So hopefully our lungs are helping out there. But on this.
Amen. And our lung microbiome.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our skin, the good bacteria are there like protecting us. They're serving as a barrier and making sure that if there's a pathogen, that the pathogen's not able to take over. Like the bacteria is like, nope, this is our territory.
Yeah, and so it's protecting you. So that being said, washing your hands with triclosan and some antimicrobial that's not just going to wipe out the bad guy, but all those healthy bacteria. Is that a good or bad idea?
It's, I know, because we do it all the time in the medical field. Mm-hmm. We're using all these antibacterial things. So sometimes there are certain pathogens that are just super strong where it's like, you got to use these antibacterial products. But it ruins people's skin. Like you see so much more hand eczema. Like I see it so much more, and especially if you're more predisposed to it, or if you're not properly re-moisturizing, because there's certain microbiome replenishing ingredients in moisturizers. So re-moisturization can be helpful. But yes, it ruins skin. So many of those antibacterial products.
You're wiping out your microbiome, which is part of your skin biome, which is part of the little ecosystem, your little garden.
Yeah.
And you can disrupt your garden, bad weeds are going to grow. And
Our bodies do have this ability, like the good microbiome can still magically, and I can't tell you how, like still can return. Mm-hmm. But I know it's like a tough subject, or not subject, for me as a physician.
Yeah, you're dance on the road and you have to,
avoid antibacterial soaps, because there are some pathogens that are just not, don't want to get exposed to soap. Yeah. It's about
it as non-toxic gut. I can say that soap and water works really great to your kids. You don't need to have your kids wiping with Quats wipes on their desk and putting alcohol, which if they do too much of it, they can literally get alcohol poisoning. And just that's a fact. You have to do it quite often, but your alcohol highly absorbable. Mm-hmm. You're still getting alcohol. It's still getting in your bloodstream. So if you're using too much hand sanitizer, kids are getting alcohol poisoning. That happened during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so that's an extreme case. Mm-hmm. But it is drying out your skin. It's wiping out your cells. It's removing the oils. It's killing the microbiome. All the things that you said were good for your skin. So I'm here to say, and you said it's not good for your skin, right? Saying there's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place for those. And, there are products and things that, and even our innate ability of the skin to be able to help replenish that microbiome back together if you're not repeatedly using those products. Yeah. But it reminds me of an ingredient that I do really like, and I think a lot of people would appreciate, is hypochlorous acid, which is a natural antimicrobial that our white blood cells produce naturally. And I like it because I do still think it's microbiome friendly. But we use it in derm a lot as an antimicrobial, but it's also soothing. It's anti-inflammatory. So people can use it like for acne, soothing eczema skin. So it's one of those really cool like antimicrobial ingredients that I like, in case y'all think about it. Like that's what I carry with me, is like some hypochlorous acid gel.
So hypochlorous acid gel is safer than an alcohol-based gel.
On your microbiome. It's not going to be, though, as 100%.
99.9% of germs.
And it's not, I don't even know if it's 99.9% of germs. It's not like
You have to make the claim. If you make the claim on a label, you have to.
Yeah. It's not going to be as like antibacterial as alcohol and triclosan, or like 70% alcohol or triclosan. But I think it's just like a safer alternative. People do want to use something after they're out somewhere. That's something that I like.
And then just a crazy question. Mm-hmm. Is it the soap when you wash your hands on your skin? Is that killing off the bacteria, or is it the physical action that kills the bacteria?
It's the chemical compounds and like this disruption of the pH that can affect and kill the bacteria in your skin. I don't think it's the physical.
Because I heard that once. That's why I'm asking. So I don't have really? To look. No, I don't have to look it up on ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah.
You.
Yeah.
You know, I last time I checked, you have a brain, and you know you're better than
Andy. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. So and then here's the last one, and this is for my 14-year-old daughter, my wife, who are doing face yoga. Is like, does that work when they're doing this, like on the crow's feet, and they're going?
I know there's you know, so much out there.
Yeah, with an AI voice over like.
Okay, so I don't think it's hurting anything. Yeah. And it's so interesting, but there's a very well-respected journal, the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology, or sorry, the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA. The JAMA Dermatology did publish, maybe in 2019 or 2020, a study showing face yoga. Mm-hmm. And they said that it didn't really, they showed like, I don't know, they looked at a bunch of different facial exercises. And it said it didn't really make a difference, but there was one that made a difference. It was like a cheek exercise, and it helped slightly increase cheek volume or lift. Otherwise, it didn't really make a huge difference. So I can't wholeheartedly say like this is what you have to do to be able to get rid of your wrinkles. I can't say face yoga is the way to do it. If they enjoy it, like, and I know that even just the act of like moving your facial muscles and exercising is going to promote circulation.
Yeah, so, like an oil, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's so crazy because like sometimes I'll see these people because I follow even a couple of face yoga people and I'm like,
it's a thing.
God, their faces look amazing. And they like, I see what they look like before. Just things look more snatched and like their skin quality looks better. They could be doing other things too, but.
Right before they get on camera, they're shooting a little bit of time. Right.
We'll see.
Honey, bring me the needle.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's, I feel like, we don't have enough evidence to say that it's going to be like...
But there's no evidence that it's hurting.
It's not hurting.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting a little too rough, you know, doing the finger thing.
Yeah, just, yeah, be gentle. Because we don't want to create more wrinkles, potentially. But yeah, be gentle.
Yeah. Do toxins age your skin?
So it depends on what toxins are. I think of toxins as like anything that's a physical burden on the skin or anything that can cause oxidative stress. We know things like pollution, UV rays, cigarette smoke, stress, like mental stress, poor sleep. These are toxic to our skin because they create, yes, because of the oxidative stress, they create something called free radicals. These are these unstable molecules that wreak havoc. They can attack our collagen and cause more collagen breakdown. If we don't have the internal resources to help fight those free radicals, these oxidizing molecules, that's why we like antioxidants. If we don't have that reserve, then yes, we're going to have more accelerated aging.
There's something called, I don't know if it's gerontogens. Have you heard of that
term? I have heard of that term. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the gerontogens mess with collagen somehow, which is toxins, like environmental toxins. I think they're called gerontogens, but I'd have to look it up. Maybe film guy can look it up, Jordan. But there is some direct connection between toxins and the elasticity. What would that be?
Yeah, collagen and elastin.
Yeah, elastin, yeah. Like lowering the elastin or collagen. There's a few studies on that I remember reading.
There's different environmental factors. Yeah, definitely we know like even like cigarette smoke, it accelerates the enzyme that breaks down collagen. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we see more, less capable collagen, thinner elastin, and with that comes more aging.
If you saw someone who smokes a lot and you see them really wrinkled, there's a connection there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's cigarettes do so much harm to the body in so many ways.
Yeah. So don't smoke for your skin. Nope. We can all agree upon that. Yeah. I don't care if you know. So we can all agree on that. Yeah. Every medical doctor, you know, every health influencer, let's agree on that.
We all know that smoking's bad.
Okay. And then beef tallow. Mm-hmm. People are saying it, you know, and there is people online. I've seen them that fix their skin. Mm-hmm. Then I also see people where it caused a bunch of acne. Mm-hmm. So what about beef tallow for your skin?
Yeah, beef tallow is interesting because it does have a similar composition to the sebum in our skin, and it can potentially work as a good moisturizer. For some people, honestly, I think there's so many better moisturizers out there. But yes, one of the biggest problems we see is that it can clog pores and cause acne breakouts. Mm-hmm. And then another potential problem, and I think this is where it can totally just depend on where the beef tallow is sourced from and like who's making it, like who the company is. But because if it's not stored properly, it can go rancid, mm-hmm. and then that can cause problems for the skin.
Just like if you're eating olive oil or butter that's burnt. it's going to literally cause oxidative stress.
Yeah, yeah.
So rancid beef tallow will cause oxidative stress, free radical damage.
Yes, or there could be like bacteria.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't like
that. I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
That's probably where it's killing from, is the nasty beef tallow.
The nasty beef tallow. So maybe in the future, like, because, you know, lanolin is derived from sheep's wool, mm-hmm. and it's in so many products.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like finally figured out and like refined in a way where it's like safely used in products. There might be a day where it's like that with beef tallow too, but it's not here right now.
Not standardized enough.
It's not standardized enough.
So what about out of all the oils, like olive oil, coconut oil, shea butter, shea nut butter, like out of those oils that people put on their skin? I mean, I use it. It doesn't really bother me.
So if you want something that's like completely DIY, if you want to use like a home product on your skin, I do like coconut oil for the body. If you're not acne prone on the body, because we definitely see it clog pores on the face.
Yeah, I use it on the body. I don't use it on my face.
Okay. So I think that we like it. Coconut oil actually has some antimicrobial properties too. So it's actually used as an ingredient in some eczema moisturizing products. And it can also be like a helpful hair mask for some people. I would, once again, be careful about the scalp, because you can potentially get breakouts on the scalp or like yeast issues. Although it does have some anti-yeast properties too. But anyways, I think it could work as a hair mask or body moisturizer. So I do like that. An oil that I really like that's in a lot of moisturizers is sunflower seed oil.
Sunflower seed oil.
Yeah, that one, they even compared it to coconut oil, to olive oil in studies. And it moisturizes really well compared to those. If you're looking for, like I said, once again, as a dermatologist, I'm all about, there's so many great safe moisturizing products out there. If you're using like an at-home DIY product.
Oh, that's crunchy non-toxic dads.
Yes, yes. Okay, so sunflower seed oil. And then...
And which is funny, because you're going to have the anti-seed oil people say.
Right.
But here's the thing. Sunflower seed oil, it's not canola oil, right? And canola oil is an organic canola oil. So there is difference in seed oil.
Different.
And no one likes to have that conversation. So it's just like, all seed oils. And so you say one thing, it's like you're going to die if you do eat organic canola oil. Right? You're not necessarily going to die. It's not as good as, say, a single origin olive, glass bottle, never hit plastic olive oil, but it's way better than a vegetable oil. It's way better than industrial hexane extracted bleached, because you can't do any of that stuff, with canola oil. So yeah, can it be rancid? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so it's this interesting conversation.
It is.
We get, just like all of us, we get stuck in a thought and we just quit. All seed oils are bad.
Right.
All this is bad.
Exactly.
All skincare is bad.
Because I knew the moment I said sunflower seed oil that somebody's going to be it's a seed oil.
Yeah, but
it's so interesting.
Yes, and could be fine.
Yeah,
right?
And linoleic acid, like the things that we see in a lot of seed oils, a lot of these seed oils are like really great for the skin, actually. So
sunflower seed oil.
Yeah, sunflower seed oil. Yeah. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's not like, anyways, I know it's a whole other interesting conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here. We're here to have conversation and learn. That's why kind of a little bit of controversy in there. Maybe I think that one through. So I'm growing, I've studied this stuff. Like I don't sit on one side of the fence, right? I'm not, all oxalates are bad. Don't eat oxalates. So you get in that oxalate train, but wait a minute, if you cook it and all the things that you were saying, the red vegetables, these flavonoids, polyphenols, the things that are antioxidants, anti bad stuff for your skin, So sunflower seed oil. What else? Because I'm interested.
Yeah. What else? That's like.
So is the non-toxic living,
like not harming your skin?
Yeah.
It's hard. The dermatologist,
because you're putting it.
These aren't formulated for the skin, and so it's like.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Like olive oil. Maybe you can do all.
Well, don't say put that in. Like, if you have a formula and they're formulated in the skin with other things.
Yes, yes. If they're formulated properly, I wouldn't.
So olive oil can be formulated into
some product and have great results.
And
sunflower oil is commonly incorporated in a lot of moisturizing products and have great results. It's when you buy it as a cooking thing, it's not going to. It's not made for the skin, and
Cooking, so a big like a big thing of sunflower oil that's like GMO sunflower, and then you start going like you're saying
and I did. It reminds me of this other point too, because I know we were having this conversation the other day and about like you want to
put on your skin, like what you feel like you can safely eat. But I do want to reassure people that our skin is a beautiful organ that has so many amazing protective mechanisms. Of it has proteins, lipids, keratin that are defending our skin from so many of the external environmental forces and factors out there. And our digestive system has enzymes. It's made to digest foods. So what we put on our skin versus what we eat is different. So like just because.
Good point. Very fair.
Yeah. So
I mean, I do cliche saying if you can't eat it, don't put it on your skin, you know,
but
and it's okay. If you disagree with it.
I do because I see your skin.
There's a nuance.
Our skin behaves differently than our digestive tract and our stomachs.
Like our skin can't handle certain things that our digestive tract can't. Like our skin can't handle lemon, cinnamon, like vinegar, baking soda, sugar scrubs, like those things we can ingest and our body's designed to absorb and handle those things. But our skin can't handle those things. Yeah. So it's like. So,
that makes sense. You know, when I say it's like, okay, if it's a toxic petroleum-based compound that you can't pronounce that has known carcinogenic and or hormone disrupting effects, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm saying that's probably not in your best interest as far as I'm concerned. But there might be a risk reward that's involved there. Yeah. But for me and what I teach,
right,
it's just not... I'm like minimize toxins,
minimize everything,
maximize nature, you know?
But I will also want to be the person to say, like, I want people to not feel so scared and be able to still enjoy your life because our skin does a lot more. I think we don't realize how much our skin does to protect us. And there's a lot of barrier protective mechanisms in place.
That's why you should take care of it. That's why you should take care of it. Yeah.
And yes, there's a lot
that it's there to protect you. And it's shedding off bacteria and viruses, like we said.
It's keeping all the bacteria. It's made to keep things out. So yeah.
A lot of drugs. Yes. Yeah. So point well taken. So sugar scrubs, not for the face, but for the body. Safe or unsafe?
I think overall safe if you don't have like super sensitive skin on the body. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it on the face because skin on the face, but I'm fine with it on the body.
Yeah. My daughter makes me coconut sugar scrubs. She's like, Dad, you need to exfoliate. Like, look at your legs. You need to exfoliate. She's into skin. She's into it. And I'm like, baby. Like, and she was like putting too many things on, even natural things. And I'm like, honey, no. You eat perfect. Like, you're eating fermented foods, you know, you have a clean diet, you're not eating sugars, you're eating all the healthy fats, like, your skin is gorgeous.
Really?
But she's homeschooled, so she has extra time.
Yeah. And it's so fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
But so, fun at 12 years
old. Oh my gosh. I did a video on these little girls that have these skincare routines that are using adult skincare, made for adult skincare at XYZ, whatever company or brand, and they're using like 12 products and they're like 10 years old. Tell me why that's dangerous.
So there are I first want to say that I know there's this huge movement with skin with younger kids using skincare, but what's crazy is that when you're 9, 10, 11 years old, that's like really the best your skin's gonna ever look. So you don't need all these products. And there's so many products as we age, our skin cell turnover decreases. So there's products that are made to help increase skin cell turnover, like certain exfoliating products. There are certain things like retinoids, retinol, like that. When you're at such a young age, you don't need any of those things. And they could potentially harm your skin. Your skin.
Amen. Preach.
They can harm your skin. So please be careful.
Yeah.
I think gentle cleansers are fine, like that don't have any like exfoliating ingredients in them. Gentle cleansers. Like a basic moisturizer is okay. What I don't like, you know,
fragrance free.
I'm all about fragrance free.
I know you are.
I know about it. Yeah, just minimize, just keep it minimal because you really don't need a lot. This is the skin, the best your skin is going to ever look.
And you're beautiful already. Like
beautiful already. And if it's fun.
And if your gut is, you know, if your gut's bad and your skin microbiome is bad, that's a lot of the things. So if you have skin, I got to ask you, what about Accutane?
Okay, so there's a time and place for Accutane because some people will actually become suicidal when they have really, really severe acne. And like, so Accutane has saved lives in that regard. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's like I said, once again, one of the reasons I went into dermatology was to help people mentally, to help boost their confidence. The thing is that, you know, there's so many potential side effects with Accutane. 95% of people will experience dry skin because it's shrinking your oil glands. That's how it works. And we have people check in every month to see how they're doing on it. And like I said, I prescribe it because it helps people so much. I can't tell you like the change even like
teenagers who don't even have eye contact with me. They look down the whole time. And then towards the end of the treatment, they're beaming, smiling, confident, talking so much. But it's one of those things where because I had taken an integrative approach, I always also present to the parents before even going on Accutane. You know, we try everything else too.
Yeah.
But I also talk about healing the gut, and it's a much longer road, and it's, you know, and there's certain supplements that could be potentially helpful for acne. If they want to go that route, they can. The problem with people with severe cystic acne is that it's a time thing. So like the more they have cystic acne and the longer they have it, the more severe the scarring is. And that treatment is really hard.
Yeah.
And then that can also cause mental health issues too, like the severe acne scarring. So it's a conversation that I have of like, do you want to take the effort to do the gut healing? Or do you sometimes people do it at the same
time? Yeah, currently, yeah.
So that we're healing, so that we're not having permanent damage from the acne while also healing the gut. But yeah, it's one of those things where there is a role, but it's very scary for a lot of people. So it's definitely a conversation to have with your dermatologist. But it's so interesting because now that it's been out for so long, for like 30 plus years, I mean, it was discovered in the 70s. Actually, one of my faculty at George
Stoddard
discovered it.
Oh, wow. So was it originally, so many drugs, was it originally discovered for acne, or was it made for something else and they found that it for acne is one of those?
It actually was discovered for acne, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's on the same track.
Right. And it wasn't like an accident. Like, oh, this drug cleared up the acne. No,
this was a pesticide and it was a swimmer.
Yeah. Right.
Not one of those.
But they saw that like the mechanism with this vitamin A derivative is that it shrinks these oil glands. Oh, like, could this be helpful for acne? And so the longer that it's been around now, actually, the more comfortable dermatologists feel with it, because there was a huge scare in the 90s with it about it potentially increasing suicide risk and causing like GI issues, like increasing inflammatory bowel disease. The evidence behind that has now since been debunked by both psychiatric research and journals, as well as gastroenterology research and journals. But it's obviously not a medicine you want to take lightly. It's a huge deal. And like I said, there's a time and a place for it. Not everyone's a candidate for it. But it's for those with severe acne and they're not responding to other treatment, and if they're dealing with severe scarring.
Yeah, so severe acne, severe scarring, time and place for medication, but it's not to be, I'll say this, I believe it's overprescribed.
So I think it's definitely something that you need to think hard about before going on it.
Because it does have dangerous side effects.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
But most people do great. And it's annoying because we don't know who can potentially get some of the scarier side effects. So everyone gets dry skin. That's the most common side effect. The next most common side effect, which happens in about 15 to 20% of people, is joint pain, muscle soreness. Mm-hmm. And that's usually dose dependent. Once you're done with Accutane, it goes away. Or like if that happens, if you adjust the Accutane dose, that can diminish. Very rarely, though, like it can be like long-term joint issue. Yeah. It's super rare, but it's, you know, we don't know who that happens to, but that's a thing. And then there's hair loss, nausea, headache, random little side effects like that, which all usually go away after Accutane. There's a scary side effect called pseudotumor cerebri. And usually it happens if you're on another medicine alongside, like if you're on antibiotic, where you can get swelling in your brain. Super rare, like I said, and there's questions that we ask, you know, about your vision and your headaches to screen you for it. But it's not a joke. Like it's
very effective. It's not to be taken lightly.
Not to be taken lightly. And there's a time and a place. Like I said, if somebody's to the point where they're like suicidal because their skin is so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I've eaten kids with bad skin. And then, you know, who's going to want to take, you know, who's going to have the ability to take the long, hard road? I mean, I would say I would. At 50.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
And there's so many people who are that's not wanting to.
Or if you're 31 years old.
Fix, you know?
And part of it, though, I mean, think about the world today, like how much with looks and like, you know, some women are now 30% plastic, you know, instead of like, and that's taking us further away from nature. There's consequences to those toxins. Our body 100% of the time reacts to that, whether you're have good detox pathways or not. You put something foreign in your body, it's going to cause a low grade inflammation. There's no way around it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we probably don't see or realize are happening. Yeah.
So, but the movement towards, you know, I just like to say, I hope that over time that we accept nature, we accept beauty and have fun and enjoy our skin. And, you know, you're going to have beautiful skin for a long time because
we'll see.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Japanese women,
there's some good genes.
There is some good genes there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some people look, you know, my skin's not perfect, but I'm out in the sun. I wear sunscreen when I know I'm going to be out for a long time, but I purposely dose my skin to build it up, but I'm going to get spots because I'm not putting sunscreen on, and I'm okay with the spots as long as I'm not burning my skin and causing, you know, skin cancer. Yeah, we don't want that. So you can't abuse, you know, you're not being responsible. Mm-hmm. You got to be responsible with the sun. Mm-hmm. It will damage your skin, especially if a bad diet, especially if a bad microbiome, you know, all those things. You can't be like, oh, I'm all natural and I'm just going to run around the first day of summer and with my shirt off and damage my skin.
Yeah. And I also say, like, the more fair skin you are, it's like the redhead, really pale skin, freckles, like
10 minutes.
You're unfortunately at more of a disadvantage.
Yeah. You can go like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but don't you get more vitamin D more quickly?
And you can get vitamin D more quickly, so you don't need as much sun. But yes, like, you just need to have more of those protective mechanisms in place, whether it is the foods and the sunscreen.
Or a cotton shirt that's...
I'm all about sun protective clothing because it's so easy. You don't have to think about it. And then, like,
just don't,
kids.
I put my kids in the natural stuff because you are heat and there's BPAs and toxins. They haven't they haven't tested this stuff. Like, now it's coming out. There's BPA, flame retardants, forever chemicals, formaldehyde, you know, all this stuff. So I'm putting on the skin on a hot day to protect them. But now they're leaching. It's heating up. So as you heat things, the chemical action moves. And some of those, I mean, again, you know, it's what's the trade-off. But I use an organic cotton. I used to, when I fish, you know, put the plastic on like 3 years ago. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to get me an organic cotton, you know, and put that on and wear a big hat. Mm-hmm. So I wear a big hat so that I get shade on my face.
Yeah, hats are so helpful.
Yeah, so there's those things. Mm-hmm. My cousin Kimmy, she's a sweetheart. She just texted me today, and I think she's going to Switzerland or something. But I remember her. She's so fair-skinned, and she just had the biggest. She buys the biggest hat she can, and she's wearing white linen all the time because she cannot be in the sun very long. Mm-hmm. She's so fair-skinned and beautiful, like beautiful. Mm-hmm. Fair-skinned people, it's so attractive.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, I want to make pale skin cool again.
Yeah.
Because everyone's trying to get like super tan. But with that, there's so many people who aren't doing it properly and they're just damaging your skin. UV rays, some people know, is literally a form of radiation.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's benefits to it, but
no one's going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will. You know, go run around naked in the sun. Well, it's actually good for you too, because especially there's studies there.
Right? Show off your perineum to the sun.
Yeah, there you go.
But maybe we're biased as derms because we see
totally understandable when people being irresponsible and not being responsible. I know when moms let see their kids burn, and we've done it on accident, right? Because we're just busy or their hat falls off. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Like, you feel horrible. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to spray avobenzone all over my child. Like, I'm going to use zinc oxide. Like, you know, I'm just not going to do it. You know, I mean, it's a known and it's funny that they pulled out the other one, not Avo, but the other.
I pulled out oxybenzone.
Oxybenzone.
Yeah, avobenzone, we still don't have enough evidence to pull it out, but
they pulled out BPA and now they threw in BPS, and BPS has strong on fertility, and but we're leaving it in, and we switch out one benzone for another. Yeah. We switch out the gel nail TPO, it'd be TPO free, and it'll be another chemical, TPL or whatever. So we just go from one chemical to the next. Like, come on,
replaced by something else.
Yeah, let's talk about the insanity. It's like, oh, we got busted on this one, we'll use it for marketing. And we'll sell a bunch more and we'll just slip a different chemical in. It's a little bit silly. Let's be responsible to humanity and let's not start looking at our freaking pocketbooks. Yes. Let's like think with our hearts.
Yeah. What I'm hoping is that the movement that you're bringing with just people paying attention to every stressor or potential toxin or burden in their life, like that we're making a change on a national or global level. Because all of these things, just going tying back to the skin, like so many of the crazy changes in the Western world, I think, are why we have more acne, or we have more of these
hunting. Lay up a space, wiping out your gut bacteria, like, makes sense. Like,
oh, let's change these things so we can make the lives of dermatologists easier.
Yeah, root cause medicine. You know, it's like, let's not keep looking at drugs to, that we shouldn't have to, like, just say, for example, she would have to use Accutane for a little girl or boy. Yeah, so that they don't commit suicide because they can't even look at their friend.
Yeah.
Because their face is going to be scarred the rest of their life. It's going to affect their future, affect their economic situation. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Even sound like our film guy, I think you took Accutane.
Freshman year of high school.
Yeah, freshman year of high school. So he took Accutane. Was it beneficial?
Definitely saved me from a lot of things.
Yeah,
yeah. And
it didn't want to run, so it's beneficial. But it also...
But there's side effects, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard to be on.
Still to this day.
You still have side effects?
Just the scar.
Scarring, but it saved you a lot of scarring.
Yeah, yeah, safety scarring. Yeah.
I was one of those that, like, my organs and stuff were very dry, so I was in a lot of pain for a while, but when I stopped it, finally.
It's usually when you're on it, but yeah, it's not, like, an easy ride. Like,
I mean, if it's drying out your organs, that's not good.
Yeah. Right, we need juicy organs.
Yeah, we do. We have fruity organs. This is a juicy podcast.
Well,
people are going to like share the junk out of this thing. You brought so much balance and expertise. And, you know, just like that's what I want. I want balance. I'm not a toxic dad, but I understand balance. I understand that the world doesn't think like I do. And I'm not going to judge what, if you want to use Accutane, go for it. That's your choice. But know, have that informed consent. Know that there's other options. Know that if you do the work, right? Just like if you do the work spiritually, you're going to have a better life. And you know, if you do the work and choose a non-toxic lifestyle because you love yourself and you start putting the right foods, your body will respond and your skin will be better.
Yeah.
And more importantly, your heart will be better. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We want people that are healthy and have happy hearts and know that toxins don't add value to life. They take value away.
Yeah. No, I love your mission and what you're doing. And I think that so much change needs to be made. And I think what your message is helping bring that forth. So thank you for doing that.
So they don't.
And thank you for having me. Yeah. But I also want people to feel like, you know, that they could still put things on their skin and not freak out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, you're not eating it. Like I get it.
Yeah.
So you're just saying people have fun and enjoy their life and not live in fear.
Yes. We also, because fear also is stressful. And I've seen that cause inflammation.
I'm definitely not trying to do that. That's why I like doing podcasts, so people can see, like, hey, you know, like I don't want that for anyone. And and this is where we agree, and we might disagree on a few things, but that's okay.
No, but this is great.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Far exceeded my expectations.
Oh,
no, I actually, when I talk to you, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, with non-toxic dad, is he going to try to bust me because I give medications? Like, no, of course not. You know, I have lots of friends that are dermatologists, and you know, in every area of the world, I have wonderful friends. I had different groups of people at the latest event, and you know, from both sides, like no one gets that. We are able to, we all on a path and a journey, and we're all making decisions. I'm making my decisions based on the challenges that I had in my life. That's why I became non-toxic dad. That's why you're doing what you're doing, and why you have an integrative approach is based on your past and your challenges. And you've had a lot. Like, we'd even get into those, right?
No.
So, but it's expressing in this beauty of who you are and that heart that I saw from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I saw it in your eyes, and you reflected it on this podcast. So it's been an absolute honor to have you, Mamina.
Mamina.
Yes. Dr. Mamina.
Yes.
Thank you.
Got it.
Honor and privilege.
Thank you so much.